Hello again. On this side, I've used almost all of one particular programme. I've taken out the bits that were topical that week, but otherwise it's as broadcast. Catriona Young reads the first cutting.
Commenting on a recent visit by the Princess of Wales, Richard Highgate, the Highways Operations Officer, said it went like clockwork, apart from the timing.
Well, thank you, Margaret Fletcher of Saffron Walden, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Peter Cook. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. Before we start round one, here's part of a letter printed in the Daily Telegraph this week.
We're at a turning point in the history of British institutions stretching back to Magna Carta. It's the right of every citizen and the duty of every MP to stand up and be counted for what they personally believe to be in the national interest. Yours, etc., Sir Peter Smithers, Vico Morcote, Switzerland.
Oh, thank you, B. Whittaker of Stoke-on-Trent, for sending us that one. Richard, who at 43 will become 42.
This is my old friend. No, he isn't my old friend. How can I say that? Ridiculous. Just because he went to the same college at Oxford as I did. There's no reason why I should claim acquaintance with the fellow, and I don't wish to either. I don't care for him. What's the chap's name?
You used to go out with him. You're so fickle, yes.
I wish you hadn't brought
him. Cling film, isn't it?
Cling film. President Klingfilm. I'm told he's a very good saxophone player.
Very, very good.
Probably the first good saxophone player who's been President of the United States. Makes a change for old Bush. I don't think he played anything.
Yes, it was the surprise election success of America's 42nd President, Bill Clinton. A surprise because all the polls predicted he would win. Clinton becomes the youngest president since Kennedy, with whom he likes to be compared. He's got similar looks, a few extramarital flings, and his brother can't drive. The new president's wife, however, won't be known as his first lady, because at the last count she was about his 27.
She's going to be called the presidential partner, isn't she?
Yes. That's what everyone's called nowadays. Well.
What do you call Mrs. Major, then? The prime ministerial...
Partner.
Partner, yes.
You have a partner now, you don't have a husband or a wife.
Most people call us sad and disappointed, but that's a different thing.
As you helped your colleague so well with that last question, Peter, here's one for you. Who had three reasons to be confident?
Well, I think it is Mrs. Major's partner.
Yes.
The death-defying... action-faced, proved himself very strong indeed, with a majority of three brought about by physically forcing bewildered people in the wrong direction through the lobbies, a triumph if ever I saw it, and enough to put Herr Bangerman in his place. Das weiß ich schon, Herr Major. Ich bin ein Dummkopf. How stupid of me to say what I thought and what everybody else thought. What a big mistake, Mr. Major. You are one hell of a clever guy.
That's the best Norman Tebbit I've heard.
You want to be careful attacking Norman Tebbit. He was on television on Wednesday evening revealing that he had a nasty brother who was unpleasant to people.
Roy, your question. Who was credited with the sign of the black mark?
Why do I know other people's answers but not my own?
What is they've that... done, they have fixed us because my pen doesn't actually write.
Well, why don't you read?
No ammunition. And up in the forward trench.
Hey, you stand a chance, Richard.
Print it.
Consumer Association.
We always have this problem because his writing isn't as legible as it ought to be for this.
Does the name Consumer Association strike a familiar note? Banks.
No, it's right. No note at all. That's because Lady Oppenheim is chairman, and I try not to think about it or her.
I think the Consumer Association had a bit of a go at the banks and building societies, saying they were a lousy lot.
Well, what else is
Yes, that's the answer. Yes, good.
That is the answer, yes. Alan, here's a piece of music for you.
You and you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. so happy together.
It's not going to be that one, is it?
The question is...
I'm not going to do that one.
Who made separate career moves together?
Oh, God. I'm hanging on to an MBE by my teeth. I think it's the future king and queen, and if you believe that, you believe anything. And they went on a mission to sell British divorce to the Koreans and have done a wonderful job.
The song was by the Turtles. The Turtles. Thank Happy you Together was by the Turtles.
Thank you very much.
And the Queen has faxed Lester Piggott and asked him to step into the breach because he'd look a bit more cheerful than Charles.
Are we giving Barry the opportunity to do a Piggott impression?
No, I refuse it now. I've refused the option.
No, go on.
No, you're right. Yeah.
It's really terribly sad. The same thing. Most unfortunate.
I don't think that's at all funny.
This was the visit of Charles and Diana to Korea to meet the locals and promote British exports like whiskey, antifreeze, and the Duke of Edinburgh Book of Far Eastern Etiquette. Richard, who have been licensed to make a killing in the job market?
Killing in the job market, Peter.
Who have been licensed to make a killing in the job market, comrade?
It is to do with the Russians, I understand, by your...
Thank you very much indeed, Richard.
Yes. See why Ingram's disqualified from this. This is about the intelligence market. MI5. I think if it's that, otherwise I'm disqualified as well. But MI5 have been advertising in the broadsheets, saying please come and be a spy.
Right.
To Russians?
Yes. No. To Englishmen. It's all this stuff about you've got to meet the advertiser under a hollow tree. Apply an invisible ink. Using a sea bacoscope. All that. But anyway, it's all open and above board now. I want to be a spy because... And you fill it in 5 letters. Send in 2 packets of Smarties and a Nescafe lid. Before you know it, you're inside the KGB shooting people. Wonderful.
This is MI5, or our London branch, as it's known in the KGB, which placed advertisements... which placed advertisements in the national press seeking new spies. Situation vacant. The seagulls are flying eastward. Dimitri. Plus luncheon vouchers. The Secret Service hopes its new equal opportunities policy regarding sexual orientation will lead to the recruitment of Britain's first heterosexual spy. Peter, your question. Whose royal welcome was richly deserved?
Oh, well, it's that fascinating friend of Alan Wicker's.
Sultan of Brunei.
The Sultan of Brunei. And the Sultana was with him, wasn't she?
That's right.
And they agreed to meet the Queen. For a few moments, and she was very, very lucky to get hold of somebody as rich as herself to chat about their investments.
Were they on speaking terms?
Oh, yes, thick as thieves.
Oh!
the Sultan was over here.
That's right.
To interview Alan Wicker about his wealth.
You're absolutely right. Roy, would you have a listen to this?
I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now, you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
That was right, said Fred. And the question is, whose opening has been shelved indefinitely?
I recognise the voice. It was Sir Edward Buchan, whose stately home was burnt down earlier this week.
That'll do for me, yes.
Was it for the insurance purposes?
Or this is the shelved that is really the
shelved.
Shelved.
A book. What does it do with the British Library?
It is to do with the British Library, Richard.
Well, I mean, the British Library is rather like Canary Wharf, isn't it? It's fallen under a cloud. And it may not be allowed to continue. None of the shelves are the right size. None of the books will fit into the shelves. And this whole project, which was doomed to disaster in the first place, is now going to be put into mothballs on account of the recession.
This is the new British Library, which is £300 million over budget and 2 years late, and now owes itself so much in overdue fines it can't afford to open.
This delay, which library staff have been trying to keep quiet, follows the scrapping of an automatic mechanical shelf system which kept throwing books into chaotic heaps on the floor. But they managed to sell it to Foyle's bookshops to help tidy the place up a bit. Alan, where is it now, Défense de Fumée, with your puits fumée?
Well, thanks for your impeccable accent. This is now Hounslow. No smoking day in France, and they all wonderfully ignored it. Gives me great confidence for Maastricht, even more confidence than Roy has. Yes, they sent the French a piece of paper saying nobody must smoke, so they all went out and smoked.
That's right. It's the French who introduced a ban on the foul antisocial habit of smoking, Alan, in public places, in case it upsets others, Alan, going about their normal public activities, Peter. We start round three with a cutting from the Congleton Guardian.
Disabled theatregoers will no longer have to brave the elements to use lavatories at a Congleton venue. An extension to Daneside Theatre means they can now relieve themselves at inside lavatories without having to go out of the front door.
Peter, question is, what scientific exercise is running on water?
Running on what?
Running on water. Well, water is a byproduct of oilseed rape, and three buses are now running on this byproduct of oilseed rape, which is a subject of contention in the GATT talks between the United States and the EC.
God, you get a point for cheek for that. It concerns a cargo of 80,000 Nike training shoes washed overboard in May 1990, now being used by marine scientists to track ocean currents. A single train... True. What are you laughing at? It's quite true. Single trainers are turning up on shores all round the Pacific, where they're eagerly snapped up by one-legged beachcombers. One training show in particular has turned the world of oceanography upside down by proving conclusively that the Gulf Stream doesn't run from Mexico to the North Atlantic. It actually finishes under a broken supermarket trolley in the Manchester Ship Canal. Roy, what ran overdue because it wouldn't run overdue?
What ran overdue?
It's a railway train. In fact, it's a very old railway train, because according to you, it runs on steam, and it's from Sweden.
What are you talking about?
No, the wrong sort of dew fell.
Alan's written two things on his pad. One is Sweden, and the other is Scrubber, and I'm not going to talk about the second one.
I've written Swedish Scrubber, and I was about to put a telephone number down as well. No,
I've read that book already.
British Rail introduced a French hose and a Swedish Scrubber. And it didn't
work. Yes,
we
had
to do with leave.
That was it.
Worse than that, they have it on this side of the house. Right. I must give it to them. Because you did say the fatal word.
The wrong sort of dew.
Exactly so.
Fell on the rails.
Right.
Just when they thought they'd got everything sorted, suddenly dew comes down in liquid form. That was the...
Oh, it's almost uncanny the way you got that. In the same week, British Rail was surprised to find they'd had a railway bridge built, which is too small for the train. Mind you, they blame their contractors, Hornby 00. Alan, which bumbling operation took Crooks for a ride?
It's going. Oh, you know. You better
I don't want.
Can he do this one? He'd like to do one. I've brought him along to do something. It's about bees.
No, it's not. It's about policemen. This is an operation to cut down on the amount of crime by policemen doing something. Can't recall for a moment what it was, but I'm sure it's better than it used to be when Kenneth Baker was Home Secretary. It's policemen, isn't it?
Policemen are in it, but it's called Operation Bumblebee.
Operation Bumblebee.
It's about bees. Wouldn't be called that otherwise. It's not about the cardboard Range Rovers on the M55.
No, what was that?
Oh. Well, you saw that. They introduced cardboard Range Rovers with police written on the side, and they put it on the M55.
Really?
Catch any cardboard cars going by. I mean, it's supposed to be a deterrent.
Very good.
But it's about burglary. I mean, I'm prepared to give you
the actual story. It's about burglary. I think you get
it's a special campaign against burglary.
It's described by the Met as a classic sting operation. Operation Bramblebee is very successful. Yes, people are burgling their own houses to induce some sort of crime clean-up rate. Officer, I just discovered our television is missing and my wife's got it in the garden. Good. That's solved, then.
I don't want to...
I've discovered the answer to burglary is not to have a TV set, because burglars only take TV sets.
Oh, really? Is that
and if you don't have one, they won't break into your house.
What do you think's going on at this moment, Richard?
Well, I am in my house now on Saturday morning. I'm sorry, that was a paranormal announcement.
And I'm also in my house on Friday night.
Oh, are you? Yes. Yes.
Always in there with a gun.
All the burglars.
Not that I'm allowed one, really, and several policemen are in there as well, looking out for bumblebees with sticky feet.
Let me tell you what I got written down here. It's the minicab drivers who had the book thrown at them. As part of Operation Bumblebee, the Met's crackdown on cab drivers who knowingly transport burglars and their booty from the scene of the crime. One thief was caught because his cabbie didn't do getaways south of the river. Another burglar, told that his cab would be there in 2 minutes, mate, gave himself up after waiting a week. However, Operation Bumblebee has judged to be a complete success, the only police complaint being that none of the cabbies chose the right to remain silent. And the scores at the end of that round are rather interesting because Alan and Roy have 9, but Richard and Peter are in the lead with 11. Before we start the final round, here's news from the Luton Herald and Post, sent to us by Ray Aspton of Luton.
Postman Mark Brogan has won a special prize from Bedfordshire Royal Mail in a competition to name a delivery office in Leegrave. His winning suggestion was Leegrave Delivery Office.
Richard, what has pigged out after a case of mistaken identity?
Is the royalty involved in any way?
No. Scientists are involved.
Shine of the Duke of Edinburgh involved? No.
Scientists have now discovered that guinea pigs are not as reliable as...
bees.
As giant bees. But, it is the replacement of a guinea pig with humans to make safe sense for animals.
It's not the one about inflating prawns with a bicycle pump. That was
now,
the other
look, how do you know that's my hobby? At my age, you don't get much pleasure in life. Give me a nice prawn and a...
Right. Can't go on with that.
It's the humble guinea pig, which scientists claim isn't suitable for medical research and will be more at home in the lunchbox as it tastes better than beef. A certain Dan Guo claims we'd be better off using cows in the laboratories. It's obviously not his job to clean out the cages.
Peter,
which fire chief torched his career in a novel way?
Torched his career in a novel way?
Yeah, well, I want you to know that.
Fire chief Dingweiler from Arkansas.
Well, it's very like that.
I'll be dingled in a hog's back.
Well, I hope it gives you a certain amount of pleasure.
It's nothing to do with Edward Ducan, is it?
Not really. No. Not deep down.
He's not a fire chief. He's a lot of other things.
Yes, okay. True, that is. It's the United States Fire Captain John Orr, who has been jailed for setting fire to 3 shops on his way home from an arson investigators conference. The clinching evidence was a novel he'd written about firefighting arsonists, Point of Origin, which will be published next year by Bryant and May. Contents, 48 pages of prox. Fire Captain Orr, the infamous serial barbecuer, was described by the prosecution as a danger to the community. A fair description for a fireman whose idea of rescuing a cat involves setting fire to the tree. Roy, you've not had a lot of luck lately.
No, one way or another I have.
Well, if you ask the questions in the Arkansas Fire Trade News and Advertiser, you don't get to do a lot of homework, do we?
practically none.
Go on, give me one about a Chinese grocer.
We've got some lovely answers across here, but you won't ask the right question.
Well, let me try you with this one. What jailhouse rocker came to the end of an extended run? About a prisoner,
well,
escaped prisoner.
My ambition, I'm going to keep a clean sheet all day.
I don't know, they found Elvis Presley in Holloway.
Elvis Presley comes into it.
A man has escaped from prison disguised as Elvis Presley.
No, I have to tell you, really. It's escaped prisoner Phil McGreevy, who is back behind bars after he was caught singing Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock in a pub karaoke contest. That's the first rule of going to ground. Always adopt a persona which isn't going to attract attention. The star of Sing Sing Something Simple has now released his first single on the HMP label, Please Release Me. Let me go, Alan. Alan, who was left without a prayer after being offered a little light relief?
Well, I think I know this, but I mean, it's the one I don't want to answer. This is Martin Nathaniel.
Yes.
He's a vicar with a beard, and he wandered into a uni-vicar sauna. Massageorium. And after 25 minutes, which seems an extraordinarily long... I don't know what he was thinking about during this time. After 25 minutes, this extremely worn-out masseuse said, would you like anything else? Because all she'd done was remove sort of knots from his shoulder muscles and things. And she offered him hand relief. He had no more idea than I what this might be. But he was... He wasn't up for this, as it were. I mean, he was... an investigation into the probity of this massage parlour.
In Luton. And he had no idea that his hand was going to be massaged, so he was... because they'd been knotted in prayer for 25 minutes, as you said, and he tipped her 25 quid, he said.
Did he?
Afterwards, he didn't make an excuse and left it. Fell to his knees and was thrown out.
Another good argument.
Yes, let's not pursue this line of thought. Yeah. Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard?
This is a sporting item from my own paper, The Observer.
Ah.
It says, a deputy headmaster has been expelled from a charity conquer contest at his local pub in Hemel Hempstead for cheating. He was found injecting concrete into his conquer.
Peter, what have you brought for us?
This is an item from the Daily Telegraph. A gang who used a JCB to steal a cash dispenser from a bank near Gatwick Airport burnt the £15,000 inside when they tried to open it with a welding torch.
Roy.
Well, mine's from a magazine which shall be nameless till the end of the quotation. And the quotation goes, extraordinary powers can prove inconvenient at times. I was in Sainsbury's once when I had a sudden vision near the avocados. It gave me quite a turn, and I knew immediately that something was wrong. Sure enough, when I got home, I found that my pet hamster had escaped from his cage and had been sucked into the Hoover. That's from The Accountant magazine.
Roy, you made up for everything with that. Alan.
I have one from the Aberdeen Evening Express, Barry.
Oh, lovely.
At the height of the gale, the harbour master radioed a coast guard on the spot and asked him to estimate the wind speed. He replied that he was sorry, but he didn't have a gauge. However, if it was any help, the wind had just blown his Land Rover off the cliff.
Four panellists on top form. Well, here's a moment of history. Richard Ingrams knows the answer to a question.
And your question is, what street has removed its poison ivy?
I know this.
Nothing to be proud of.
That's absolutely amazing.
Well, you see, you don't watch the street, do you, Ian?
Which street?
The street.
The street.
Yes, you ducky.
Downing Street?
No, the Coronation Street.
So tell us about it. It's on in the afternoon,
well,
is it?
This poor old Ivy who works at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And she's just spent, I mean, this is what she's done in real life, nothing. She's just spent £3,000 getting herself some new lips. It's true. I mean, this is in real life. This is not. This is better than the actual story.
I bet it is.
Anyway, she's been sacked. There's now great excitement as to know how she's going to be killed off. I think there could be a sort of avalanche in the supermarket. When she's walking along, all these tins could suddenly fall down.
Trapped by the lip by a pile of tins.
It could. The moral is, don't spend a lot of money getting new lips. Stick with your old ones.
Right.
He's actually got something right.
It's the first of Coronation Street star Lynn Perry, who was sacked from the show just months after she had had a facelift. And I bet the news wiped the smile off the back of her neck. Her ill-timed revamp also included lip implants taken from cow rump.
Mad cow lips.
It didn't make her look any better. But at least they kept the flies off her port and lemon.
She really has suffered enough.
Alan, last question this series. Where has the Abbey Habit worked up a record thirst by, heck?
This is a quite extraordinary story. This is the fact that more Benedictine is drunk in Burnley than anywhere else in the world. Benedictine, which is not drunk by anybody else, it's just, you know, has candles on it and lampshades over it in most people's homes. A third of the world's intake of this muck goes down the throats of people in Burnley. I know nothing about people in Burnley. I'm sure the gentleman on my right does.
What happened was that the Lancashire Fusiliers were down there during the First World War.
Down where?
And down where they make the Benedictine, you see.
They never got as camp. Far as that.
Faye Camp.
Faye Camp.
Oh, you know her.
Yeah.
Well, they were down at Faye Camp.
Yes.
They were down at Faye Camp, guzzling away during the, you know, during the shelling, and they took such a taste for it that they brought it back to England, and they have what's called a Benian Hot, which is, it has hot water poured in it, you see. And, you know, it's very interesting.
How do you
thing.
Know this?
Because I sometimes read the newspapers, very rarely, but occasionally. It was all in the Independent.
You get a brilliant bonus point
oh,
for
thank
that.
You.
Well done,
thank
John.
You.
This is about the Burnley Miners Working Men's Club. Now, there's a quaint old expression, miners working. It's become famous as... Thank you very much. It's become famous as the biggest retail outlet in the world for Benedictine, the liqueur made by monks in France to a secret recipe of herbs, exotic spices and extract of black pudding. The Benedictine habit was brought back from the First World War by returning troops. They know how to make their duty-free last in Burnley. Martin, your question now. What's the latest word on the search for the lost ball?
Is this the one that the English cricket team can't hit?
No.
No.
Is this about the people digging up Hitler's body?
There's no need to be unpleasant, Francis.
Ah, there's a clue in there somewhere.
No, my colleague would like to tell you more
Alan.
Detail
tell us,
on
Alan.
This.
You'll get all the points.
It's about a man called, I think, Mr. Besh, who's tired of losing his golf ball. So he's got a golf ball that talks to the hole. He gets up in the morning and down the 18 holes of his golf course, he puts a little transponder, and it talks to his ball. And when he hits the ball and it doesn't turn up, he goes to the hole and puts his ear to it, and it says, it's over there. It's true. Talking golf ball, I mean, if you think Welshmen are barking mad, try golfers. This man talks to his ball.
It's the latest British development in golf technology, balls that talk. Yes, I'm on a tightrope here, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we lead the world when it comes to talking golf technology. The ball's development hasn't been without problems. Recently one was activated whilst in the trouser pocket of a golfer relaxing in the clubhouse.
the resultant message of "I'm in here." Caused the lady captain to faint.
No, she was just pleased to see him.
Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Ardrossan and Saltcoats Herald.
Mrs. Maxwell told Kilmarnock Sheriff Court during the two-day trial she and the five others present at the party drank their way through four bottles of whiskey, three or four bottles of vodka, four bottles of Bacardi, 12 bottles of Thunderbird wine, and 24 cans of lager. In addition, she herself took approximately 20 Ativan tablets and smoked a cannabis joint. I only had one. It made me feel sick, she said.
Richard, have you got a cutting for us?
I've got a very tattered old cutting from a newspaper in New Zealand, Barry.
Oh, really?
It refers to events in Stourbridge. It says, a crematorium at Stourbridge in England has apologised to relatives of a recent client. Instead of every time we say goodbye, they accidentally played Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
John.
This is from Bedfordshire on Sunday, and it says, police are hunting an astonishingly ugly armed robber. He has grey Elvis Presley-style sideburns, buck teeth, and a bottom lip that sticks out so much that he was unable to pull his stocking mask over it. Detective Constable Steve Bayford, who's investigating the raid, said he is without doubt the ugliest robber we have ever heard of. Astonishingly ugly. A photo fit will probably be too distressing.
Jeremy.
This is from the Westmorland Gazette. In the worst of the winter weather a couple of weeks ago, an Arnside man went to use the telephone on the promenade one evening. After standing shivering for some time, waiting for the person ahead of him to finish his call, he suddenly realised it was a snowman which had been built inside the call box and the handset tucked under his chin.
Excellent. Alan.
Where's the topical one from the Leicester Mercury, Barry? Explaining her unilateral decision to recall the now notorious sex booklet, Education Chair Mrs. Ibbotson said, instant withdrawal was the only option. The last time something like this happened, I moved too slowly and got into the most awful trouble.